Job chapter 41, verse 8. Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. We know that God will bless the reading of this precious word. Likely most would have noticed a little connection between the passages tonight. The similarity is found in one word. And that's what I want to bring before you for a few moments at the commencement of the gospel meeting. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is speaking to believers. And he says to them, wherefore, remember your past. Remember your past. When we come to Luke chapter 17, we're encouraged to remember Lot's wife. And finally in Job 41, remember the battle. Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. First of all, remember your past. You know, it's interesting as the apostle writes to these believers that he would remind them of what they were in the past. And I have no doubt that those who are saved tonight, those who know Christ the Savior, those who know that all is well for eternity, each one of us at some time, we sit down and we think about our past. And I know as I sit often, even though I was saved as a boy, 12 years old, as I sit down and think about the moment that God saved me, I never cease to marvel and I never cease to wonder why a holy God ever loved the likes of me. It's still a wonder to me tonight. When I think of my past, I wonder why he ever loved me. You see, there was nothing lovable about this man that stands before you tonight. And that's what Paul is reminding these believers of. As this chapter commences, what he says to them, you hath he quickened, or you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. In other words, Paul is saying to them, you weren't always like this. You weren't always like this. And he reminds them of three things in particular that I want to point out to you. First of all, he said that at that time ye were without Christ. Without Christ. You know what Paul is saying? You weren't born a Christian. You weren't born in your way to heaven. Oh, now you're traveling that road. You've been reached and saved by the grace of God, but you weren't born in this condition. And that's why in verse 1 he reminds them of how they were born. Dead in trespasses and in sin. I hope there's no one here tonight. You believe in your mind for 1 minute that you were born in the way to heaven. It would never stand the test of the Word of God. Why David could acknowledge that he was born in sin. That's why you need to be born again. That's why a religious man, a man who taught religion, like Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, coming face to face with what he thought was a great teacher sent from God. Oh, he said, we know. It's as if the Lord said to him, forget about the we. This is one-on-one, Nicodemus. I want to tell you what you need. Not more religion. You need Christ. Oh, he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Must be born again. I'm sure Nicodemus was amazed when he heard those words. All these years. And all his religion, And if he carried on in his religion, the possibility for eternity would be this. His religion would be his ruin. My friend, is that all you've got tonight? You've got religion, but you're without Christ. Never been born into the family of God. Never experienced a new birth. Well, if that's the case, you're just like Nicodemus. You need to be born again. A birth from above. Born into the family of God. You know, I often tell those that I'm speaking to, you know, we call ourselves Christians. That simply means we belong to Christ. But I wasn't always a Christian. Oh, I couldn't always take that name in my lips. You see, there was a time when I wasn't in the family of God. There was a time when the apostle could have said of me, without Christ, without Christ, no Savior. What happened? As a lad 12 years old, in my bedroom one night, no preacher near me, after having read the Word of God, Revelation chapter 20, just imagine a 12-year-old had read through the Bible, likely didn't understand too much about it, gone through the book of Revelation, likely didn't understand anything of it. But that night I read Revelation 20 and I couldn't sleep. You see, there was something in there that I understood. 12 years old! And when I read those words of the Apostle John, when he commenced in verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. I tell you, terror struck my little soul that night. Why? I realized that I was a sinner bound for eternity. I was in danger of appearing before that great white throne. See, John closes that little passage. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, I knew I wasn't to be found. My name wasn't in that book. There'd never been that moment when I experienced a new birth that placed me in the family of God. But thank God that night I did. So tonight I can say I'm a Christian, but it's because of a birth. Where do you stand tonight? Without Christ? Still dead in trespasses and in sins? Never at that moment when you came and acknowledged your sinfulness before a holy God, turned your eyes heavenward to thank God for giving a son to die for a sinner like you. Without Christ, as Paul says, remember that time you were without Christ. But not only that, he says, having no hope. Not only without Christ, but having no hope. You know, earlier on in the chapter, Paul tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith? That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. Maybe there's one here tonight. Perhaps you're a stranger even to the gospel. And you felt that living a good life and church going and your high standards of life are fitting you for heaven. You were unaware that this book says it's not of works. It'll never do. Never. You know, if there's one here tonight, you think such a good life, no matter what you can do, would ever take you to heaven, I'd have to ask you one question.
Why did Christ have to die? Why? If one soul ever entered into heaven in their own strength, I'd have to point to Calvary and wonder why it happened. But Paul says it's not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. You know, boasting in heaven, thank God for that. You see, it's not your works that's taking you in. You won't be able to boast and say that you made it in by a long shot, but I just barely made it. Oh, no. You see, those who are traveling to heaven tonight is because of the blood. That blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. My friend, that blood that flowed from the Savior's side is the only passport I have to the realms of bliss tonight. Jesus died for me. Having no hope? There's absolutely no hope that you'll ever enter heaven on your own strength. It'll never do. But thank God there is hope for you tonight. And while you're in the body, there is hope. And we hope and pray that God will save you. But if you were to die tonight and die in your sins, could I tell you solemnly that you're going to a place where there's absolutely no hope, none. Hope, the very mainspring of our life. The man who's ill, he's hoping for better health. The man who's poor, he's hoping for better days. The unemployed are hoping for employment. But to die in your sins and to go off into eternity, you're going to a place where there's no hope. All hope has been removed. Is that the road you're traveling on tonight? Bound for the burning. Beyond hope. Yes, Paul said that was your condition one time. You were without Christ. Without hope. Having no hope. And then he adds, and without God in the world. Without God. You know, it's not a very popular message. But we've often said the problem today isn't finding truth, the problem is facing it. You must face the truth from an almighty God himself. His word says that you're ungodly. Ungodly. Still in your sins. No Savior, without hope, and without God, ungodly. Wouldn't that knock the pride out of you tonight? Doesn't that bring you down a peg? To see yourself as God sees you, ungodly. I wonder, is there one here tonight? Even in the seat where you sit, you'll face the truth. I am an ungodly sinner. Unfit for heaven. Only fit for hell. But thank God it doesn't end there. That was the past. Then the apostle says, but now, oh, things are different now. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes, you who were far from God, in your sins, you've been brought nigh. How did it happen? By the blood of Christ. You weren't brought nigh by changing your religion.
You weren't brought nigh by baptism, by confirmation, by taking communion. You have been brought nigh.
It's as if he points to the cross. By the blood of Christ. I'm sure there's many here tonight like myself that have had to visit those who were dying. Almost near their final breath. I remember bending over the ear of a dear man in hospital, soon to go into eternity. A man who a few short months before had trusted Christ. Thank God he had. I remember praying into his ear. He couldn't even speak. He was so near to death. I remember praying into that dear man's ear and thanking God for giving a son. And thanking God for the blood. Oh, you could hear him groan, trying to respond. You see, there's a man going out into eternity, and that blood was precious to him. I'm no doubt in my mind that that dear man went back to that moment in his mind. Just those months before. And he admitted to God that he was a sinner. Only fit for hell. When he admitted to a holy God that he was ungodly. But his mind was directed to Calvary. And he thanked God for that precious blood that cleanses from every sin. Can you go back tonight? Can you remember? Remember that moment when you came as a sinner to Christ. Remember your past. When we come to Luke's Gospel, it's a short message. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. You know, isn't it interesting that her name isn't even given? Why, usually if we want to remember someone, some personality, we like to have their name. Why, that's how we'll remember them. But we're just told to remember Lot's wife. You know, you could almost say that really her name isn't worth remembering. You see, it's not in the book. Why should we remember Lot's wife? Could I suggest to you tonight that we should remember her privileges? What were her privileges?
This dear woman, through marriage, was linked to a man whom the Bible calls the friend of God. Friend of God. What a privilege that she should be linked with a friend of God.
I know that I'm looking into the faces of some tonight. And you've been highly privileged. There are some here tonight. You could point at your parents, and you could say they're children of God. Children of God. They're in the family of God. You're related to them. Related to a child of God. Yet tonight you're without God. What a privilege has been yours. There are many that never had a privilege like that. We've mentioned during the gospel meetings a young man, 16 years old, that got saved at a gospel meeting one evening. Can you imagine how he rejoiced in his soul that God had saved him? It had been revealed to him his sinfulness and his need of a Savior, and he drank the gospel in and trusted Christ and rejoiced in sins forgiven. Here he is making his way home. I could almost see Steve that night as they knocked the door. His father opened the door. They weren't Christians. No time for God. And Steve told his father, "I've just got saved." That's the best news anyone could ever hear. Just been saved. His father said to him, "You pack your bags and get out." 16 years old. Pack your bags and get out. Here you sit tonight and you're privileged. Many born in a Christian home. Mother and father that have prayed for you. Wept over you. And tonight their heart is aching over you. Because there is a possibility that the Lord might come. You know as well as I do, if He comes tonight, you've missed it forever. To be shut out of heaven. Sink into the flames of hell. And here you sit, highly privileged. Lot's wife. Remember her privileges. Remember her sin. She disobeyed what God told her to do. Disobedience to God. My friend, it's that sin of yours that comes between you and a holy God tonight. He hates your sin. He is holy. And He must punish sin. But I'm glad I can tell you tonight that He loves the sinner. My friend, there's a God who loves you. He loved you so much that He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's cross that you might know those sins forgiven, that you might know Christ as your Savior. But remember her fate. When I think of this dear woman, I think of a woman that's lost tonight. Eternally lost. And here you sit in a gospel meeting, privileged. God has been good to you. The very fact that you're here tonight is the goodness of God. Why, there's many that get up this morning just like you and I. And tonight they're in eternity. Many without Christ. And here you sit. Our God has been good to you again. Given you another day. Where you might forsake your sin. Come in true repentance. And come to Christ. My friend, remember Lot's wife. Eternally lost. When we come to Job chapter 41, lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Do no more. Remember the battle. The greatest battle that has ever been fought. And the greatest victory that has ever been won. It was fought by one man. No sword in his hand. No gun in his hand. No weapon in his hand. One man with love in his heart for sinners. 3 dark hours at Calvary. God punished His Son because of sin. at Calvary, love and hatred met together.
My God, love is victorious.
For God so loved the world that He gave.
Gave the best that heaven could ever give. He gave His only Son. When I think of Calvary, I think of a great battle that has been fought. When that battle came to a close,
there was a cry went out. It is finished! Finished.
That wasn't the cry of one going down in defeat. That was a cry of a victor. A victorious cry. Now I love the words of the hymn writer when I hear the Lord Jesus cry out, it is finished. I can't help but think of these words.
My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole was nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more.
He bare my sin in His own body in the tree. He claimed a victory. And that night as a boy, I laid my hand upon Him. It was for me. Yes, all for me.
O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me,
my Lord, the King. It is finished. Lay thy hand upon Him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Do no more. Mr. Steers and I had a series of gospel meetings. And almost every night, young man in his mid-twenties, you could see him as you were preaching, tears coming down his cheeks almost every night, wanted to be saved. And every night leaving the meeting, coming down the aisle, shaking hands at the door, wanted to be saved. What was his problem? He wanted to do something. Wanted to do something. Times we sat down with that young man and tried to show him from the Word of God that it's all been done. It's finished! I remember the last night of those meetings as he came out the door that Friday night again with the tears flowing down his cheeks. I think Mr. Steers and I, well, a preacher feels his weakness, I tell you. You can't save anyone. God spare us from trying the work of God.
Oh, we'd have loved to have seen the young man saved.
I remember he shook hands with Mr. Steer, and I could almost read the question on his face again. What can I do? But I think he lost his courage to ask him. Then he shook hands with me, and he must have got the courage up again.
Mr. Gray, I want to be saved. What can I do?
I said, tell me, Jerry, what would you like to do? What would you like to do? He said, there's nothing I can do. I said, that's right. I've been telling you that for 4 weeks. There's nothing you can do. My friend, when we come to Calvary by faith, it's a finished work. What can you do tonight?
Lay thy hand upon Him. Take it for yourself. Jesus died for a sinner like me. Remember.
remember the battle.
Do no more. May God help you to come to Christ tonight.